Hey there, this is Terry Cowley, weekday breakfast presenter on 1FM Shepparton. Thanks for checking out this podcast. It was recorded live as part of the Brekkie Show, which you can catch 6 to 9am Monday to Friday.
Now it's time to drop around to Cozzy's Corner.
Indeed it is, and it's a very good morning to Mr. Roman Coz.
Good morning, Terry, and good morning to our listeners. I hope everybody's well this morning.
Same to you.
Yes, the world's in a bit of shock at the moment, but I guess we have to move on, haven't we? Poor old Shane Warne, well, not old, but 52. Gosh, what a loss, eh?
Bit of a shock, yes.
Yeah, a massive shock. Terry, today I'm going to be talking about one of the first scary characters of the film world, and that scary character goes by the name of Count Dracula. Author Bram Stoker, he was born Abraham Stoker in Dublin, Ireland, wrote the book in 1897 at the age of 50. Life started tough for Bram as he was bedridden for the first 7 years of his life, but amazingly recovered from his mystery illness to actually become quite an athlete as an older teenager at college. And as he got older, the love of theatre had him write stories and parts of plays. In 1890, he visited an English coastal town called Whitby, and due to the surroundings and partly inspired by a castle called Slane's Castle, Cruden Bay, led up to him writing Count Dracula, or writing the Dracula book. He had several years researching European folklore and myths about vampires, so that sort of led him to it. And at some stage in the Whitby Library, he found the word Dracula, which he believed meant devil in Romania. When first published, the reviewers were at odds with themselves. Some thought the book was, an effective use of horror. Others thought it was too terrible with the publication of a vampire being someone who sucked blood out of people, a little bit too horrible. I suspect they'd laugh these days at some of the films that have been coming out and stories. Surprisingly, the first film was actually a Hungarian silent film in 1921. And as the film was unauthorised, Bram Stoker's widow, Florence Balcom, he'd died 9 years earlier, sued the film studio and the film was destroyed. Bit of trivia about Florence. At one stage, she was girlfriend of Oscar Wilde, the Irish poet and playwright, but Bram won her heart, and of course that's history. In 1931, Bela Lugosi, a Hungarian actor, became a Dracula in the film called Dracula. He had played Dracula on stage and therefore won the part because of that, and is universally considered the Dracula of all times. But the facts show he only played a vampire on film 4 times and Count Dracula only twice, and once obviously in that film. And a little bit later, 17 years later, he played Dracula in a film called Abbott and Costello Meets Frankenstein. Poor old Dracula never got a mention in the title there.
I won't be rushing to see that one.
I've actually saw it years ago when I was a kid, and it was pretty, you know, those Abbott Costello films, well, you know, some of them were a little bit to the left side, I think. Poor old Bella was typecast for years after that and had problems getting really good roles, but he survived. 1936, Dracula's Daughter became a big flop, unsurprisingly. However, in the 1940s, Dracula films starring guys like Lon Chaney Jr., himself becoming quite famous for playing roles like the Wolfman and the Mummy, and also John Carradine, the father of David, who played in that TV series Kung Fu years ago, brought a bit of normality back to Dracula. In 1958, a film called Return of Dracula with Francis Lederer had the Hammer Films in the UK become interested in the franchise, and for the next 16 years they produced 9 Count Dracula films with Christopher Lee in the role. The plots were quite predictable, of course, and in at least 4 of the 9 films he somehow returned from the dead. So
I definitely remember Christopher Lee.
Yeah.
He was quite synonymous with that role.
Yeah, he was the first one in the film history of Dracula to actually have fangs that were quite visible, so it was... That was sort of his sort of thing for the...
His Dracula trademark.
Yeah, trademark's probably a good way to say it. A little bit of silliness came into, as they always do with these type of things. Batman, Dracula, Andy Warhol made a film just for his art exhibitions. There was no initial public showing of this particular film. Then along came the silly film in 1966 called Billy the Kid versus Dracula.
Oh my God.
Hang on, I've got one better. And then along came Dracula's Dog. You wouldn't have seen that one, Terry.
No.
and the star of the film was a vampire Doberman. So there you go.
Had to be a Doberman, didn't it?
Oh, so sure.
It kind of wouldn't have worked if it was a Labrador.
Or even a Chihuahua, maybe, eh? Just a little bit later, George Hamilton played Count Dracula in sort of a campy, you know, fun type of film called Love at First Bite. In 1992, Francis Ford Coppola came to the rescue and brought back Dracula to a bit of normality with a film called Bram Stoker's Dracula, and that film starred Gary Oldman.
I was going to say, I think that was the Gary Oldman one. He was so creepy.
So you've seen that. I haven't seen that one. So
yeah, he was kind of like, yeah, it was kind of like this really white face and this kind of like Victorian hair. Yeah, he was creepy as. He's done a few creepy things, Gary Oldman.
Yes, very good actor, isn't he? I've seen him in quite a few films, but I must admit I haven't seen this one. We also had Anthony Hopkins and Keanu Reeves in that film. 1995, Mel Brooks did a little parody called Dracula, Dead and Loving It with Leslie Nielsen, who most will remember from the Naked Gun series, and those are really good memories remembering from the Disneyland series Swamp Fox. In 2004, Hugh Jackman brought some more normality back with a film called Van Helsing.
Yeah, loved it.
You loved it? Oh,
gosh. My eldest had it. Was absolutely obsessed with Van Helsing there for a while. I think he wanted to be Van Helsing because, of course, Van Helsing is the vampire slayer.
That's exactly right. In the original book, Abraham Van Helsing was the vampire hunter who killed Dracula. So good old Bram put his Christian name to Van Helsing. And that was obviously the best film since Fred Coppola's film in 1992 there. In 2012, the first of a half a dozen Hotel Transylvania animation films appeared with Adam Sandler in the role.
And they were great too. My youngest was into them. We watched, We ate those up. That's probably an appropriate expression to use when we're talking about Dracula.
So a show you got your teeth into, right?
We definitely got our teeth into those, yes.
Goodness gracious, I never thought of you as a person who liked these sort of horror things, eh?
Oh, yeah, I love horror.
Fair enough, okay. History shows all told over 30 different actors have played Dracula in movie history around the world, not all English-speaking ones, but there was no TV series dedicated to the count alone. However, in 1964-66, there was a TV series called The Munsters. Herman Munster's wife, Louie, was a vampire, and Lily's father was depicted as an over-the-hill vampire, Count Dracula, who, inverted commas, longed for the good old days of Transylvania. And that was as close as we've got to Count Dracula for quite a while. So that's all, Terry. But
so that's kind of the Dracula log. But of course, when we're talking about vampires, there's been so many other things. Did you ever read the Anne Rice book's Interview with the Vampire?
No,
fantastic, absolutely fantastic book. If you're looking for a book to read and you don't mind a bit of horror, but just so well written, Interview with the Vampire series by Anne Rice, absolutely fantastic. And that spawned a movie starring Tom Cruise.
But obviously not playing Count Dracula, just a different type.
No, I can't remember his name. It was the vampire Lestat. He was the Tom Cruise character, and then Brad Pitt was the kind of the guy documenting the whole story, hence the title, Interview with the Vampire. Yeah, really good books. Average movie, but really good series.
You're starting to sound like a worldwide authority on this particular type of stuff, Terry. Bit of a worry.
I wouldn't go that far.
Well, I'll finish off with saying that's all, and if you'll pardon the poetry, but I wonder when Drac will be back.
Yeah, I think there's an opening there. I think there's probably an opening for a Netflix series. If you say there's really only ever been one series, definitely time to revive old Drac, I reckon.
Oh, I think so. Quite a good character, and everybody seemed to enjoy those films, especially in the 1940s. Everybody loved those horror-type films. There was a stack of them in the 1940s, like The Wolfman and Dracula and The Mummy and all sorts of other ones. So, yeah, you're
now right, I found a Dracula song. I don't know what it's like. Let's just plunge in. Let's just go for it. It's by someone called Toro Colo, which I think's a band, and the song is Dracula's Tango. Thank you very much, Roman. We'll talk to you next week.
I can't wait to listen to it.
Will you be dancing? Will you tangoing around the living room?
Possibly not.
Okay.
Bye now.
Thanks, Roman.
You've been listening to a 1FM podcast.